do 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 do. Welcome to Idea Factory Giveaway, the podcast about great ideas you'll never do that someone else can do instead.
I'm John, and this is all my fault.
I'm Besha, and this is definitely partly my fault.
I'm glad we've come to an agreement.
Yeah, we've come to an understanding, shall we say.
Yes.
How's it going, John?
It goes well. I would like to report that there has been a development in the field of bumper stickers.
Oh, no.
Which is that somebody out there... Okay, so we've all seen the one, the coexist one.
Yes.
That's just a bunch of, right, like, symbols.
Religious symbols.
For those of you who have somehow managed to avoid this bumper sticker, it is the word coexist made up from the symbology of major religions from around the world, and it is extremely obnoxious. Here's what I actually I'll love to bring in our guest for this episode right away so that she can also weigh in on this. Shauna is back for her second episode. Shauna, welcome.
Yay! Hello.
Now that we are all here, I submit to the judgment of the council a sticker that I saw but was not able to snap a picture of because I was driving at the time. Similarly made up of the, you know, symbology of major religions, but instead of the word coexist, it spelled out three words that were eat a dick. Is that better or worse? Because I don't know.
Make that and forget?
I don't think so.
I feel like that's a fun thing to have made and like secreted somewhere into the sideways area of your drive, but like to put it on your car? Why?
Oh, I love it. I love it. I love it. Because it's a fair warning to the drivers around you. You're an asshole. This is why I used to have a chaotic neutral bumper sticker. It wasn't like because I wanted people to be like, oh, you play D&D. It was because it was fair warning. I love it. I'm sorry. I just love it. After seeing so many coexist bumper stickers, and believe me, there are no fewer in Portland than there were in San Francisco.
Well, I believe.
I just...
Right? Yeah. That's what, because I was sort of like, is it worse or is it actually the best thing? And I could not come to a decision. So I submit to the judgment of the two of you and also to our listeners as a whole. Please, you know, let us know. You can tell us in a review. I would love to know your opinion.
And to be candid, I, in case it's not obvious, I say eat a dick constantly. So that's why it's so, I
understood.
I love it.
Excellent. Besha, what do you have anything new on your end? What's good?
My major accomplishment over the last few weeks is sewing an extremely intricate dog bed for my dog and then like being really proud of myself for this interesting engineering problem and this nice finished product and simultaneously being completely humiliated that I am so whipped that I have sewn a very fancy bed for my dog.
I mean, listen, Whiskey is a very good dog. And no, deserves only the finest things. These are facts.
She certainly, you know, yeah. she's like, mother, this is not adequate, mother. I need a pillow top, mother. It's really more like mother.
Well,
that's all I've got.
So we introduce
our guest.
Yes, Shauna's back. Shauna.
Hello.
If you had to describe yourself to a nation of listeners, how would you put it?
Actually, I'm kind of amazed. The last time I was on, I didn't mention it at all. I am an acupuncturist here in San Francisco. So I get to do fun things, like take care of people and make them feel better.
Yeah.
Amazing. If there was one thing about acupuncture you would like everybody to know.
It is not supposed to hurt. And we don't put hundreds of needles in you. So anything you have ever seen in media is wrong. I feel very sad that, you know, of course it's understandable, right? Like the immediate... I always get patients who come in and they're like, I don't like needles. And I'm like, really? does anybody ever come in and say they like needles? No, nobody likes needles. That's not a thing that people say.
I mean, if they do, they're definitely not going to an acupuncturist for it.
Right, right. It's not a thing.
Word. Perhaps we should let everybody know what's going on with this show.
Oh, yeah. Hey, what are we doing on this show?
Here's what we're doing. Over a decade, I built up an unedited archive of ideas 800 strong and still growing. And now my friends, like Shauna, get to dig through it to see if there's anything interesting, funny, potentially lucrative, or litigiously high risk in there. If you hear one and you agree it's good, take it and run. I just want credit.
I want to be named as a party to the lawsuit. Did I already say that? I might have already said that.
It's possible you have, but it's still very good.
All right. What do we have for the witnesses, Johnny? Well, that was a Doonesbury quote. I don't know where that came from. Okay. Hello, Shauna. What do you have for us?
All right. So this week's theme, I think, is food, given the things that I've pulled out. So this one is so charming. I want to know what it is. It actually has something in the notes field. It is a product.
Wow.
And I want to know if it's really magic. It says wizard hat pasta. And then in the notes field, it says pasta shaped like a picture of a wizard hat or a 3D cone with a brim.
Oh, so it could either be an outline of a wizard hat or it could be an actual tiny wizard hat.
Right. Again.
Yes.
Oh.
Is it magical?
How could any pasta shaped like this not be?
Not be. It's magic in your heart.
So what is its power?
I think that is up to either the cook or the eater to decide. But it produces such a delightful mental image. Like I want to see it.
So this actually has a date
too.
So I want to know if it like brings up a memory of where this possibly came from. So this was from March 31st, 2019. So fairly recent.
The problem with the dates that are associated with the ideas is that only records when it was transferred into the spreadsheet.
Okay.
So it could have been any time in the month or two preceding that. And I, to be perfectly honest with you, don't remember anything that happened a month ago.
Fair.
Much less March of 2019, which, you know, could have been 3,000 years ago.
Well, you definitely had a toddler at the time.
Yeah.
That's true.
I can see that leading to a desire for wizard hat-shaped pasta.
That's true, although he is not yet old enough to... I don't think we've exposed him to any wizardly media yet. Certainly had not back then. And I wonder if maybe I was going through one of my rereads of The Lord of the Rings.
Ah.
That's possible. That's the only thing that I can think of. But, actually, before we go any further, what would you two prefer? The outline version or the little 3D hat version?
Well, definitely the little 3D hat.
Yeah, especially if it's hollow inside, because then it would, like, pick up a lot of sauce, which is usually my criteria for
pasta. You could put the dry ones on, like, your cat.
Yeah, your cat. It would be a very tiny hat for a cat. How big is this piece of pasta?
Oh, totally. That's half of the fun.
Yes. This tiny little, like,
what
centimeter sized
a big
cat?
One, though? Like, you know how, like, ravioli are big? Like, what if...
Oh, yeah.
Oh. And then you could stuff it with things.
Oh, like a stuffed shell.
Yes. That, I think we found a winning application, people.
I mean, I feel like the whole line needs to exist.
That's very good. Ooh. Okay, so you make big meatballs, and then you make the wizard hat pasta, and you stuff it with something, and you put it on top of the meatball.
Oh, my God.
Pinterest is going to have
a field day. I'm sorry that my first thought, though, this whole time is I put on my robe and wizard hat. Wizard pasta.
I mean, as long as we didn't make robe pasta, I think that we'd be safe.
You could just use lasagna. I don't know.
I am an adult.
Come on, this is a gift to all the people who make beautiful things with food.
It is. I'll eat it. Let's do it.
Yes. Agreed. I can't wait to see what else Sean has discovered.
I mean, it could come in different colors, too. Like, I'm not done. It's so cute. Okay, never mind. Now I'm done.
Oh, yeah.
What's next on the list?
Maybe I was hungry when I picked these. This one is also a product, and it is It is a power bar vending machine in social venues.
Huh. Ah.
Yeah, I could get behind that.
Right? There should be a vending machine that sells some kind of, like, calorie-dense food item in places like a bar or whatever.
That's exactly what I wrote, too.
Where, yeah, like,
yeah.
Right?
My blood sugar's tanking. I don't want to get fries because I'll regret it later. Yeah.
I just want a little something. I want, like, a granola bar's worth of, you know what I mean?
Yeah, because bars without food make no sense.
I feel like it's a no-brainer. And it's possible that it would take too long. And it's not the amount of food that you want. Like, just want a fucking, like a granola bar or like a Clif bar or something. Like, just give me that.
A little snacky snack.
Yeah.
I mean, you could kind of go crazy in terms of all kinds of different things that you could put in it. Because, you know, one of the things that I miss about pubs is that they always had crisps. And you don't really get that as much here. I mean, some bars have things like that behind the bar, but a lot of places don't. And it's that same thing of like, I just want a little something so that my stomach is not completely empty. But the power bar,
packet of crisps,
or that side of things is a little bit more, I guess, on the healthy side.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, or like, you know, like a little sleeve of cookies.
Yeah.
The way you say that just sounds so cute. Like, I just picture it wearing a little roll of Fig Newtons wearing a cozy sweater. Just a little sleeve of cookies. They come in their own cozy.
Yeah, why not?
Very good.
What's so next? Forward.
All right, this one I want, maybe hopefully you have more detail on, is a service. And it is a citation system for life events and quotes. A little meta?
Whoa. I mean, I can see it. You need a way that, God, there would need to be like a data layer that sits on top of your memory and enables you to tag things as such that you could go back and refer to those specific memories when you want to cite something to somebody else. But then you would also need to be able to show people that particular memory, which is problem.
This was kind of in the most recent Neal Stephenson novel, where everybody has a public feed and you also have editors who like strip down what you show the rest of the world / what you see. So everything in your life is archived, and also they curate for you what you're seeing from the rest of the world. And like if you're rich, you have your own editor versus somebody in a Mechanical Turk kind of situation.
Oh. Does this mean I have to read a Neal Stephenson book?
Not if you don't want to.
I mean, I'll do it.
It's also not his best work. It was he has this tendency to write like a completely impenetrable book or like really excessive book where there's just one or two ideas in there where you're like, oh, that's really cool.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's off. So, you know, read at your own risk.
I mean, that's fair. I will forever resent Seven Eves for having extraordinarily detailed descriptions of things.
Chain physics.
But I was not able to to picture at all. And even there were illustrations in the back that were also fucking inadequate. Like, my guy, you need to hire a better illustrator, or just give us the goddamn diagram. Like, I don't need like page upon page of just show me the thing. You obviously know what it looks like. Pay somebody to draw it until it looks right, and then show the rest of us.
That whole chain physics digression was just like hard eye roll. Like, I get it. You found a shiny toy. Good for you.
Anyway. I love that we can occasionally digress into Book Corner, and it's
and writers were mad about.
This is just a service that we provide.
Yeah. It's very useful.
Okay, so citation system, though. Sorry to derail that.
No, that's fair. I think that was all that I was able to come up with. We obviously run into several problems, right? Not the least of which is the fact not just that you would need to be able to show other people your memories, but also the fact that our memories are unreliable.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's an issue, and I don't. I mean, this is just something that would be nice to have, but utterly impossible to achieve.
You know, I think there was also a Ted Chiang story about this.
There
where,
like, is.
Yeah, where you literally can record your memories and still people have them differently.
Hmm.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Well, everybody should just read that story. It's in, I think it's in Elevation.
Is it?
Is that the name of the collection?
I thought it was in Exhalation. Your Life and Other Stories, but I might be wrong.
Well, Exhalation is the only collection of his that I own, and I remember reading it, so I think it's in there.
All right.
But I could be wrong. Citation needed.
All right. What do we got?
Yes, what's next, Shana?
All right. This is a business, and I think was a little bit more topical when we were doing our first timing for recording, but this is last minute Halloween candy resupply. Butterfinger with no E. Just in time holiday resupply. Thanksgiving, again with all the vowels taken out and an X, etc.
What? John?
Okay. Okay. This is for it's an app. Okay. It sort of combines I mean, I guess it's sort of like an extremely specific version of DoorDash, where, like, at the very last minute you realize suddenly, like, it's Thanksgiving and you fucking forgot to get butter for the mashed potatoes, or you forgot to get your can of pumpkin for the pie, or, like, your can of cranberry sauce, and you need an app where you can just open it up and hit a button, and somebody will come to your door with the exact things that you need very quickly. Same thing for Halloween. Like, it's Halloween is here, and your dumbass forgot to buy candy on the way home, and there are trick-or-treaters coming in half an hour, and you cannot leave the house. What do? You open these apps, and somebody helps you.
A drone. Please, a drone.
Of course.
I think it's got to be a drone. Because otherwise, like, you've got somebody driving to your door with a single can of cranberry stuffing. I like a drone bringing a single can of cranberry stuff.
This might be the only business for which drone delivery really
makes
is
sense.
A very good model. Yeah. Well, that's fair.
Yeah, I was thinking like a re-up, too. Like, you're in the middle of Halloween trick-or-treating, and you're realizing that the six bags that you bought were not enough because this is a residential area. You have tons and tons and tons of trick-or-treaters. We ran out in an hour and a half this year.
Damn.
Six bags.
Wow.
My parents live in a residential area of San Francisco. Kids come from all over the city because it's flat and you can not have to walk up many steps to get to the houses. So we ran out and we were like, well, I guess we're done. So.
Dang. Yeah, our neighborhood is somewhat unpredictable. Like, we I think, continually oversupply, but sometimes we come close-ish. All right, not really, but you know, there are some times where it's sort of like, I'm glad we got the amount that we did, because, you know, we were able to give out a lot, but yeah, no, wow.
So if you could do the, like, oh no, we only have one bag left, quick, let's get some more, that would be even more amazing. That would be, like, the quick re-up.
Yeah, and the drone arrives maybe with like a bat costume.
Yes.
On it too. Where it's...
I would be concerned about the drone getting swiped out of the sky by like teenagers, though.
They have to fly high until they get to
those
the right
kids.
Address, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, it flies up very high, and then maybe it fires the candy at your house.
Not dangerous at all.
There's a hole in the ceiling, but the trick-or-treaters weren't disappointed.
It comes out and it's like a t-shirt cannon, you know, where like the candy is wrapped in a t-shirt, maybe. Mm-hmm. Like there's a, you know,
a last minute costume in case anybody forgot theirs.
I mean, this is a tech company, they'll have plenty of free t-shirts to give away.
Exactly. It's also a great way to recycle t-shirts from defunct tech companies. Yeah. Like, they're just used as padding. Like, it's just there for, you know, and then you can just use it for pajamas. It doesn't matter. Who cares? Have a shirt.
I'm picturing, like, a patchwork parachute of various tech company t-shirts. It's just like, we made you a blanket.
Oh, look, is that a GDC 2017?
There should be... a business or something that figures out what to do with those shirts, if there isn't already, where like yeah, where they can be turned en masse into something actually useful. Although, you know, I like this padding for drone delivery idea.
Evidently, there are places now that are doing like fabric recycling.
It makes sense.
I'm mostly keeping it on my radar for things like socks that have holes in them that I don't feel like fixing. But somebody told me like H&M or one of those places is doing that now.
They should.
Really need to buy anything from
them. Yeah, there's a whole thing.
Just drop off stuff.
Interesting. Totally. I just Googled it. King County in Washington State is doing textile recycling. How cool is that?
That's very cool.
Very.
So now they just need to have like a whole container that arrives at tech companies and is like, we will take the 150 t-shirts that you never did anything with last season.
Because you got them all in a men's cut.
Yes. And they're all black. All of them.
Yep. All of them.
What's next?
These two are, well, so, okay, let's start with this one. It says art. The notes say band poster ? And the idea is vintage illustrations or woodcuts.
This was, I think, an idea that I had back when I was in a band, maybe? Where, I think I was simply cataloging ideas for posters. And, you know, because, I don't know, I think I was having a moment where I really liked the notion of incorporating lots of, like, vintage woodcuts and illustrations in some way that was completely beyond my artistic ability, which is why it was never done. But I've always liked those, and I you know, maybe, and obviously now that I'm not in a band anymore, and I mean, I haven't been to a film or show in a long-ass time, but, you know...
Oh, but they definitely have that vibe.
I would love to see, yeah, sort of like what the current state of the art is, and whether or not any of that stuff shows up, because I think it's always nice.
Oh, I would love to see, like, those... mid-century national park posters.
Oh, yeah.
That's like, visit the definite articles.
We should have done that. Oh, we should have done that.
And
there were so many good poster ideas.
They've definitely taken that for, like, fictional areas or planets or things like that. Like, I've seen a lot of those for Star Wars and various other video games and things like that.
I love those.
Those are cool.
Agreed.
But the woodcut thing I haven't seen as much because I love Doré's woodcuts for The Rime of the Ancient Mariner. Those are so gorgeous.
Oh, yeah.
So that style would be really cool to see that come back because I haven't seen that as much.
Or maybe also like, you know, like people actually making woodcut illustrations now using modern methods. What would that look like? Does anybody do that? Somebody must be doing that stuff.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Seen some of those at Open Studios. Not as many, though. I mean, obviously, it's not as prolific, I don't see as many artists using that art form, but it's probably just because it's incredibly time-consuming, although you could say that about a lot of other sculpture and mixed media things, too.
But, like, I mean, I can cut lino. It won't be pretty, but I can do it, and I can have a product in a couple of hours that I would stamp onto a t-shirt, not so much with wood.
Yeah, yeah.
Nice. I can't wait to see what the last idea is.
Well, this one's one that I swore I heard you guys talk about on the podcast, but it wasn't marked. So I figured if it hasn't been talked about and I just made it up in a fever dream, we had to talk about it, which was category story and the Eowyn loophole.
No, but this was... We definitely talked about this in an episode somewhere.
We don't always
somewhere.
Mark them,
okay.
But that doesn't mean we can't talk about it again.
Yeah, I mean, because it's the best thing.
It really is. It really is. I think maybe what this maybe turned out to be is maybe it's an anthology of stories where each one of them relies on exactly that, where it's sort of, you know, right, the thing of like this prophecy couldn't possibly come true because there's no man who can yada yada, and it turns out just because no man can do it because a woman is going to do it instead. And yeah, I would enjoy to see that. I would enjoy to see an anthology of that type, or maybe a long form, you know, fantasy story where that loophole keeps occurring, maybe to the same person.
I was gonna say, just like where else in Eowyn's life is it like, geez, we've been over this.
Yes, exactly. So, you know, both of those are the two most immediate things that I think spring to mind, but I mean, there, I'm sure there are other interpretations, and I would love to hear more of them.
Yay.
So, yes, somebody else can take and run with it, because I ran out of them, and also I don't have the time to write stories.
As a side note, I've been watching The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina, and I'm really enjoying seeing Eowyn as Aunt Zelda.
Yes. Yeah, I watched the first
season. She gets to just ham it up.
Yes, she's having fun.
She really is.
I haven't watched any of it yet. There's too many things to watch.
Yeah, it's not unproblematic. And it is extremely ridiculous, but it's a lot of fun.
Nice.
If you want to see Eowyn smoke a cigarette in a little holder.
I think that I do.
Yeah.
Shauna, have we run through all of the ideas that you found?
Those were all the ones I picked up.
Excellent. It is now time for us to give a terrible recommendation or showcase an idea from our guest. Shauna, do you have either of those things?
I have an idea, which, again, I just feel like, I'm sure other people have had this thought too, but it's something that I think about on the regular, and I don't know why anybody has not created it, and it is the apology indicator on a car. That is just like, I know, I did the thing, yes. I'm so sorry, I am a dick, I'm sorry.
Shit, sorry,
I just feel like that whether it's a flag or a just a giant I'm sorry that scrolls through the back of your car, like there's just gotta be the like, I know.
I mean, I think we talked about like, I think we might have talked about this with a different guest, where like, if there was a hand signal you could give out your window,
yeah,
that you could universally be recognized to mean I'm sorry, right? Because we definitely have one for fuck you.
Yes.
And we have one for thank you.
The wave is kind of a thank you.
Yeah, but yeah, we don't have one for my bad, mm-hmm, right? Yeah. Or if there was a light on top of your car that like glowed, maybe green?
No.
A really apologetic purple? Soft orange. Purple's good.
I like purple. Yeah. And yeah, or the, I mean, I like a flag. But no, I agree with you. This is a thing that should exist, and I don't know why.
Yeah. I like the drama of a flag popping up at the top of the car.
I picture that kind of being like a fake gun in a cartoon,
yes,
that like just spits out a little flag that slowly unfurls and says, sorry.
Yep. And then has to very slowly retract.
Yep.
In an embarrassed fashion.
Or like a hood ornament in the shape of a person shrugging that just sort of pops up out of your hood in some safe way and then retracts.
It just can't have any hint of sarcasm on it. It is literally the, yeah, like, I am, I know.
Yeah, I think maybe slapping itself on the forehead might be more,
ooh,
more appropriate. Yeah.
So, okay, I will say this, and I'm putting this in a public forum, perfectly understanding that this is a thing that my dad told me that could or could not be true. But he said that when he was young, he grew up in India, there was this thing where if you grab your earlobes with both hands and then, like, uh-huh, duck your head, that's like, I'm very sorry. So that's a thing, but you can't do that and drive. And nobody can see it.
Right.
So
yeah,
it's not like we've, yes, taken up doing that in the car or anything like that. It was more just like, it's a stupid thing that we do within our family. And, like, half of the things that we do, I don't know if they're a real thing or if they're a thing that they taught us when we were children because it was funny and now, mm-hmm, we still do it. This is the problem with immigrant parents. I feel like they control you really, really well.
Is it an ancient custom of your mother's people, or did we just make this up because it was really funny when you did it when you were three?
We'll never know.
Nice. Thanks, parents.
Fantastic. I think that we have reached that part of the show where we tell everybody where we can be found on the internet. I, for instance, am on Twitter and Instagram, and I've got a newsletter you really don't want to miss. You can find links to all that stuff at flavor.country. Go there now.
You can find me on Twitter as Besha, B-E-S-H-A.
And you can find me on Instagram. My acupuncture practices Instagram is my only public social media, and it is Acupachi, A-C-U-P-P-A-Q-I.
If you haven't already, go ahead and give this show a 5-thingy rating in whatever podcatcher you're using to listen. And if you feel like being extra amazing, leave us a nice review. It'll help us out a lot. If you've done that already, tell a friend about us the next time someone asks you what you've been listening to.
Thanks, and remember, if you've heard an idea you like, go ahead and do it. I just want credit.
And I want a cut.